and welcome. Prime Minister Modi has made history by becoming the first non-Congress full majority Prime Minister to get re-elected with a stronger majority. And as he was appointed for a second term by the President Ramnath Kovind in an impassioned 75-minute speech in Parliament Central Hall, Prime Minister Modi struck a note of inclusion. In his first speech after being elected leader of the BJP-led NDA, Prime Minister Modi asked the 353 newly elected MPs to work without any discrimination on the basis of faith and caste and to take everyone along. In his words, including those who have not voted for the ruling alliance and those who have been its trenchant critics. He stressed on the need to win over the trust of minorities. He also made an addition to the BJP campaign slogan since 2014, saying, Sabka Saath, Sabka Vikas, Sabka Vishwas. On We the People tonight, we're asking, after one of the most vicious, bitter and polarized election campaigns India has seen, is it time to move on? The Prime Minister talks inclusivity. Will the BJP follow? Is this too little, too late? Can the genie be put back into the bottle? Joining us on the show today, Rajat Sethi, political analyst, IIT Harvard graduate who helped the BJP win Assam. He is advisor to the Manipur CM. He is a visiting fellow at the BJP Aligned India Foundation think tank. Thank you so much. We have Rahul Ram. He needs no introduction. A social activist, musician with India's most loved band, Indian Ocean. Now with the political satire group, The Collective, Aisi Taisi Democracy. Mamata Kale with the BJP. Vinod Sharma, political editor of the Hindustan Times. Alpha Khanum, she is a senior editor for The Wire. She's also the host of the popular show Hum Bhi Bharat. We have Vivek Oberoi, the actor whose film Prime Minister Narendra Modi, the biopic whose release was held by the EC until after the election. And we also have Jonah Blank, a journalist and foreign policy expert, joining us from Indonesia. So my opening question to you all, you know, we have survived India's most acrimonious election campaign and we haven't emerged unscathed. This campaign was studded with a reference to unauthorized migrants from Bangladesh as termites. It saw the nomination to parliament of a terror accused who glorified the assassin of the father of the nation. And we saw an election where a minister told Muslim voters, vote for me or else. So, Rajat, in this context, what should one make of the Prime Minister tweeting hours after the results came out, or the Prime Minister speaking in a tone of inclusivity?
I think, Sarah, Prime Minister, when he made his impassioned speech in the Parliament, he was humbled by the humongous support that he had got in the election. And he was genuinely trying to, you know, with a very honest effort, trying to reach out to across the aisle and reaching out to various segments of the society that, yes, I will be your prime minister and I will be everybody else's prime minister as well. You need to also understand that the sheer scale of this mandate. I work in the Northeast and in absolutely those areas which are dominated by the real micro-minorities. Every micro-minority, be it Buddhists in Arunachal, voted for the BJP. Christians in Nagaland voted for the BJP. In Manipur, they voted for the BJP. You see Meghalaya also. All of these where actual minorities are there. And I'll give you an example. In Assam, there is a seat, Karimganj, which had 60% Muslims. And historically, never that seat has never gone to BJP. A humongous number of women voters, Muslim voters as well, reached out to the BJP. And for the very first time, they won that seat. So history is being scripted as we speak. And there has been considerable amount of effort. And this is how Prime Minister has tried to frame his way of governing. That I have two castes. Ek garib aur jo garibi ko dur karna chahte hain. Has there been any message like this before, which has cut across all of these small groupings of our society and formed two actionable groups and tried to reach out to everybody? Anyone who is actually getting the benefits of Modi governance will eventually come out and vote. They will cut across religious lines and across caste lines, and that has happened in this election. I have campaigned, I'll just give you one small example. I was campaigning in Turtuk. Turtuk became part of India in 1971. It's the northmost corner of this country. These are three Baltist villages from part of Baltistan, which was acquired from Pakistan. Nobody reached out to them so far. Never, no Congress party, NC, PDP, none. For the very first time, I individually was there, and all of our senior leadership were reaching out to Baltistani people for. You can understand how much
Brother,
amount of
I
outreach,
agree with you,
physical
with a mandate
outreach has
like
been
302,
there.
It's not just, you know, the Hinduized middle class that has voted for
Correct.
The BJP and for Prime Minister Modi. But I'm glad you mentioned the Hindu, Sikhs, Buddhists, etc., because it was the party chief Amit Shah who said that they will create a national citizens registry. They will remove every single infiltrator from the country unless they happen to be Hindu, Sikhs or Buddhists, which means no Parsis, no Christians, etc., etc. This was tweeted by the party handle with the hashtag Namo for New India, a model of New India. Yesterday, the Prime Minister is also talking of a New India, a new model, a new era. Which model are we supposed to believe in?
Sarah, have you gone through the Citizenship Amendment Bill?
You can tell us about it.
Okay, so you should first acknowledge that you haven't gone through it.
I haven't
it's
gone through
actually,
it in its entirety.
Yeah, so it's just
I'm
a,
focusing
it's
on what
half a
what
page.
The
you should
Amit
have gone
Shah
through.
Has
there
said.
Is no
because
entirety.
Believe me,
a half
everybody
a page
hasn't gone
I'm
through
coming
it
to
either,
that point,
but
Sarah.
They are going by what Amit Shah has said.
I'm
so
to
I would
that
like
point.
To talk about what Amit Shah has said.
So Sarah ji, what has happened is that a lot of intelligentsia hasn't read, doesn't know and understand the genesis of the Citizenship Amendment Bill. We need to at least go read it first. If we as informed citizens don't read it, then who else will read it? Mobs can be put into a frenzy just by stoking the emotions of people. There has been, the genesis has been such that there have been people during the time of partition, and mind you, partition was created primarily on religious lines. We all know that. Then there were certain minorities which were systematically persecuted, and it is only for those persecuted minorities created by the partition. My family migrated from Khyber Pakhtunkhwa. It was they did not come in and sign the freedom agreement that was signed by Nehru. Why would they suffer? And there were relatives of my grandfather who stayed in Pakistan, who've been systematically persecuted. Half of them got converted. But if there is supposed to be an opening, why should the government of the day not facilitate those minorities?
So which
and
model
agnostic,
should we believe
religiously
in?
Agnostic minorities.
So which model should we believe in? The one that the Prime Minister is talking about yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, so the point is that
agnostic means somebody doesn't know whether there is God or not.
No, not agnostic in the sense of agnostic. Religious agnostic, in the sense that you don't have to discriminate whether it is a Buddhist in Pakistan or a Hindu in Pakistan.
All right,
you
but you still haven't
them.
Answered my question, which
yeah,
which model
still.
Should we believe in, whether it's Amit Shah, but I want to move on.
No, he in a tweet, he just
Rahul
articulated
Ramji's
exactly
over here.
That.
Your video, Chunav Ka Mahina, went viral this election, and it's a sharp comment on Indian politics. It points out how low the discourse sank in this election. Are we saying, you know, we've all enjoyed the song, but are we saying that this is all par for the course? This is only to be expected in an election season when the stakes are so high. Now it's time to move on. And so, you know, what has been said by the PM on the campaign trail, TK wo ho gaya, it's the past, as the PM said, it's time now to move on.
You know, you can only hope that this is the truth. I mean, it would be wonderful if that was the case. But I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be actuality. That it's too early to predict what is going to happen over the next 5 years, whether it's going to be everybody together, whether it's going to be this beautiful, happy thing, or whether it's going to be more of what we've seen over the last 5 years.
Intensification. Well, in the past few days, we've seen an attack on a Muslim couple in Madhya Pradesh on the allegations that they were carrying beef. We've seen today a young man in Gurgaon, he's just been attacked, walking down the street, he's been attacked. So we can go by what's happened in the last few days.
You said it, genie in the bottle. You let the genie out of the bottle because you thought it would get you electoral gain. And it has, it's worked. Ab usko wapas andar dalna itna aasan nahi hota hai. Agar ho sake to bahut achhi baat hai, desh ke liye achhi baat hai, sab ke liye achhi baat hai. But mere doubts.
You don't think so. Mamta, you know, the massive mandate, even Rajat points about that, this massive mandate that the Prime Minister has won, virtually, you know, it bestows on him a moral authority that perhaps nobody except Rajiv Gandhi had in 1984 after his mother Indira Gandhi was assassinated and he got the sympathy wave. But if things don't go, as the PM is saying, then it will reflect badly directly on the PM that he is speaking one voice, but the message is not filtering down to the rest of the party in the corner.
Well, Sarah, firstly, we all have acknowledged that Modi ji has got a huge landslide mandate And that is because the majority of the voters, Indians, have voted for him, for the Bharatiya Janata Party. Now, why did the majority voted for Narendra Modi ji? Because of his work, because of the past 5 years, he's delivered, he's performed. And based on that, based on his performance card, people have given him that majority and said, okay, now we want you to be back in power and lead us from the front. Having said that, now we are talking about coming 5 years.
Ma'am, sorry, 38% majority nahi hoti.
नहीं तो ऐसे तो नेहरू की भी मेजोरिटी
किसी की भी नहीं थी सर
किसी की
नहीं तो मैं क्या हूँ
बिगेस्ट लार्ज मेजोरिटी नहीं है तो फिर मेजोरिटी क्या होती है
voters
are Muslims and we have won. Bhajpa has won the seats there. It speaks volume about Narendra Modi's governance.
The Prime Minister and the party have made this a referendum on the PM. Now, so if the PM is saying something and it's not what we see on the ground, is the PM responsible then? That's the question.
So we have to give him time. Now, it has just said this yesterday. We really need, we have to give the time to him. And coming 5 years, he is going to deliver, he is going to work as he spoke yesterday. And on the day he got the mandate, that was on 23rd, and he addressed the karyakartas from the party office.
You've covered politics for a long time. We heard the PM say this in 2016 after the Una incident. Despite that, we've seen many cases of these gaurakshaks, so self-appointed gaurakshaks, take the law into their own hands. Over 30 deaths in the last 5 years. So what should we make of the PM now singing this tune, talking about inclusivity, saying that everybody must go along, sabka vishwas jeetna hai? Should we have vishwas in that?
First of all, I would like to wish the Prime Minister the best of luck, because if he is able to carry out what he has promised, then it'll be very good for the country. My friend mentioned Khyber Pakhtunkhwa. I've served in Pakistan for 3 years. And my father also came from there. And he gave me a culture where, despite all the problems I faced in Pakistan during my tenure, I came back with the resolve that I shall not have a country like theirs. Now, Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, sir, the whole of Northwest Frontier Province wanted to be with India. I've had long conversations about it with Khan Abdul Wali Khan and his son Aswandiyar Wali. And I know about their passion and their love for India. And they have been taking positions for which they have been branded as Indian agents, the way some people who take positions for peace with Pakistan are branded Pakistanis in this country. Please understand this. This is too complex an issue. And if Pakistan has been mentioned, Khyber Pakhtunkhwa has been mentioned, then I must also mention what Stanley Wolpert wrote in his Jinnah of Pakistan. And he explained the speech of Jinnah post-partition, which said you can go to your temples, you can go to your mosque, you can go to your churches. Stanley Wolpert says it was born out of the realization that while you can win a country, a nation state on the politics of hate, you cannot run it on the politics of hate. And I think that the Prime Minister perhaps is also realizing that while you can win an election through polarization, you cannot run a polarized country. It is impossible to run a polarized country. If you're running a polarized country, then you are putting in deep limbo about 20 crore people, 20 crore human resource, which can aid and abet development of India. These are all very talented people. They are sons of this country and children of this country. So I think that Prime Minister, the first speech he gave from the Red Fort after the 16th Lok Sabha came into being, it was an excellent speech. In fact, I said this is truly a prime ministerial speech, and where he gave credit to all previous successive regimes for the development, for all the progress that has happened in India. After the GST bill was passed, in Parliament he gave a speech which was hugely inclusive. And in fact, I couldn't resist but write that when Rahul Gandhi happened to interrupt him in the middle of the speech, there was a smile flickering on his face. And I said, well, I wonder whether the Prime Minister realizes the power of the smile, that if a Prime Minister reaches out with a smile, a lot of venom can be neutralized. And I think about time, elections come and go, governments come and go, India shall be there, we shall be there, if not us, our children will be there. We have to bequeath to our children a country that we are proud of, you know. And today there's a dispute over that fact, unfortunately, and I wish the Prime Minister the best of luck.
So it was a prime ministerial speech, but it wasn't certainly a prime ministerial, you know, campaign.
But
it didn't
happen.
There was
what
nothing
happened?
Prime
what
ministerial
followed,
about the campaign.
What followed, after the prime ministerial speech on the Red Fort.
Correct.
In the first prime minister, 2014. I was very hopeful that, you know, but what is happening actually is that the whole lot of frontal organizations which are active.
Yeah.
And they have to be contained and restrained. And perhaps they have to be talk to that, look, this is not the time they should be doing all this. You
so
can't
is
be
the Prime Minister's message enough? Is it strong enough? And what is the wording? Arfa, come in over here, Arfa Khanum. Reaching out to minorities, the PM has slammed the opposition. He says for making them live in, and I'm quoting, he says it's an imaginary fear. He has urged NDA MPs to punch holes in the illusion of fear among minorities in the country.
Sarah, first of all, I welcome what Prime Minister has said, and I think on a positive note, he's starting his second tenure. But I doubt if he's saying all of this for the domestic audience. I think it is entirely for the international community, international press, who's been very, very critical of the way he has run this whole campaign, the way in the last 5 years, the minorities, religious minorities, specifically the Muslims, have been at the receiving end of his politics and his policies. So I doubt if he's saying anything for the domestic audience, because I still want to trust Prime Minister when he says that, as Vinod Sharmaji has said. But the track record in the last 5 years really, really pushes me not to. And I want to say it here that why doesn't the Prime Minister give a small test? We've seen that out of 300 plus seats, there are zero member of parliament from the BJP. And he's talking about Sabka Saath, Sabka Vikas, Sabka Vishwas. I'm the one, like all other journalists, I have been in the field, especially in Uttar Pradesh, Bihar, West Bengal, Kashmir. And not just the national narrative that was very, very anti-Muslim, very, very anti-religious minorities, but even the seat-wise, I would tell you the constituency-wise, how this whole campaign was, we were told that this is about national security, we were told about that this is about national interest, but this was actually in disguise, it was a very anti-Muslim campaign. And we've seen that how 38% people have voted for Narendra Modi, but still more than 60% people have chosen not to. So there's a small test for Prime Minister. When there are zero member of parliament from the BJP in the parliament that they won't be there is Pragya Thakur. And she represents a certain politics. Prime Minister has said ki main unhe kabhi maaf nahin karunga. I want to put him to this test that will he actually accept, will he ask for her resignation? As long as we see Pragya Thakur, people like her in the parliament, I don't think Prime Minister can be trusted.
So what does it say if the PM says I'll never forgive her, but she's also in parliament and
can
he
I
stands
come in
by
here?
These
can
are just empty words.
Okay.
Arfa, can I come in here? I think that Pragya Thakur Singh, one disapproves of her politics totally, completely, you know. But she has won from Bhopal by a huge margin. I think that if penance has to be paid, perhaps we can settle for a regret and a great explanation and an apology on the floor of the House, which will become part of the institutional memory of India, so that people know in future. Young people know in future, PhD scholars know in future, that if you are going to make these kind of statements, you have to come to this highest temple of democracy and apologize to the people of India for having stated what you said about the father of the nation.
Well, like you said, she won with a huge margin. People voted for her. But on the other hand, Roger, this was a seat that has been voting for the BJP for 3 decades now. So whoever they had put up over there would probably have won. But respond to what Arfa has just said.
I mean, there are 542 other candidates also, and we should do a deeper analysis as to what they stand for, because that is the composite BJP that is getting represented in the parliament. You also need to understand that from a very Delhi-centric viewpoint, we have always looked at this majority-minority question. Once you start going into the peripheries, going into the borderlands, where the real minority in truest sense, which is the last person in jisko antyodaya bol antim vyakti pankti mein khada hua wo mere liye minority hai yahi pradhanmantri bol rahe hain. He's constantly said that last man, not the people who are trying to carefully work on a narrative. And you know, this framing, which I am deeply, deeply upset about, and this has happened in the election. And then the reactions come in from the public, and the response is there in front in form of the mandate. When you say that a national security question should be seen from a Hindu-Muslim thing, this means you're bracketing the Indian Muslims with Pakistanis.
No, Rajat, this
is not
this
is the framing
Indian
that you
Muslim.
Just did
this
on the live show.
BJP,
and
there,
you cannot walk out with
positions.
This framing any longer. Arfaji, very humbly I'm saying,
Rajat ji, would you
very
forget
humbly
that
I'm
there
saying,
were attacks in Delhi, in Uttar Pradesh,
please
after this whole attack
Pulwama,
in Pulwama and in
yes,
Pakistan? Would
he
you forget
came out,
this?
No, he
this
came out and
was about
even
Muslims.
Rajnath ji came out in no uncertain terms. There were directives in writing to every state chief secretary that control, look after all the Kashmiris. That's the kind of message that we have seen
but
from the Home Minister of this
beyond that statement.
No, as I said,
the fact is we've seen the kind of VIP hate speech has rocketed in the past 5 years under this government. And its senior leaders and its 500% is what we've done, a report on NDTV, and its senior leaders and their ministers, and they have all been rewarded at the end of
well,
it.
Well, let
they
us not go by NDTV report, Sara. Let us have a more neutral assessment. Let us have a more neutral assessment. You know, last time also when I was on the show.
It is a neutral assessment. It is a factual
Sarah.
Assessment.
I mean, we all know the matter of fact.
Then there
but
is
let
one
us look at
it. Yogi Adityanath makes statements and then he made
Sara, please understand. You need to, then I'll have to dig into the data. Most of your analytics are wrong. You know, last time I was on Vasu's show, the kind of analytics that he was presenting was flawed from the very concept because you guys haven't studied from a statistical standpoint.
No, so
when
Yogi
you do not look at it, what do you call
hate comments and
I mean,
then he is
what
rewarded
are you defining hate might not be
post.
Might not
can
be
I,
hate what
can
I see
come
what
in
when I see when I see Chaukidar Chore I see more hatred. I call every time when Rahul Gandhi has uttered Chaukidar Chore it is a deep seated hatred of Rahul Gandhi. Will you qualify that as hate speech? You will not qualify, Sarah. That is why I'm saying your fundamental metrics are wrong. You do not know how to do analysis.
That's what the lyrics of your song say, right?
No.
So the polarization is across the board.
Ek katak satire is all okay. We all appreciate that. We have grown listening to him at our college campus at IIT. We all know that. But please understand, how do you define hate? That might not be an objective definition of hate because I'm telling you, Rahul Gandhi is full of hatred.
Let me for a moment define. I want to make a quick point. Please remind him, please remind Rajat ji what Prime Minister of India has said in Wardha about Vayanad. That Rahul Gandhi has gone to Vayanad because he feels scared that Hindus won't vote for him.
I spoke with Vivek Oberoi and I actually asked him that question too. So let me just go across to that interview with Vivek Oberoi. We can just go across to that. First and foremost, Vivek, firstly, congratulations, your film coming out on a Friday after this big result came in. So in the end, it actually worked out much better for you. In hindsight, it worked out well for you because now you're part of this victory lap.
Well, Sarah, I think, you could call it serendipity. I think we did have major problems releasing the film. And in my personal view, it was quite undemocratic in terms of, you know, the right to free speech and free expression. But all's well that ends well. I'm really glad that the landslide that you mentioned, Modiji's victory is being celebrated in the cinema halls. It's very fascinating to see my social media timeline full of videos coming in from, Australia, New York, London, Dubai, and people are celebrating all over the world watching the movie. And even in theaters overseas, you have people screaming and chanting Modi, Modi in the theaters. So it's pretty incredible to see what a persona he has. And I'm fortunate to have played that on screen.
All right, Vivek. So, you know, you've heard what we're debating. Whatever happened in these elections is in the past. We have to look ahead. We have to take everybody forward, including our opponents, is what the Prime Minister has said immediately after these results came out. But as we have panelists here pointing out, it is the same Prime Minister who raised the pitch, the tenor and the viciousness of this campaign when he dubbed Vayanad as a mini Pakistan, when he attacked the opposing candidate's father, bringing in the former Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi into the campaign.
Well, I think let's break that question into two parts. As far as personalizing is concerned, I think the Congress personalized even before the Prime Minister came onto the scene. Whether it was the butcher of Godhra or the butcher of Gujarat, whether it was Maut Ka Saudagar, whether it was all these connotations that were personally, these allegations despite having a clean chit from the SIT and continued that way. So I think that call was on one side, right? There was a whole extreme provocation on one side. And then, of course, that resulted to whatever we saw in terms of further campaigns. And that's unfortunately become our political discourse instead of it being predominantly issue-based. But I think the grace of Prime Minister Modi, the statesmanship of Prime Minister Modi comes across when he, at the height, at the peak of his power, which was unanticipated, right? Everybody said not more than 190, maybe 200 seats. There were conspiracy theories that, okay, so-and-so would be the, conciliatory prime minister. So-and-so would be brought on as a compromise candidate. All of these talks were going on. But he smashed all of that with these numbers. And then in that position of strength to be so graceful, I think that conciliatory move should be appreciated. And it's only because I think he intends in these 5 years. I mean, these are the five legacy years, in my opinion. And when I look at politics on a global scale, the second term is always the legacy term. I think he can really do things in the second term which can completely transform emerging new Bharat or Naya India. And I think if it can be with everyone's cooperation, I think that would be better. That people spend, especially the opposition, because every democracy needs a sensible opposition, a healthy opposition. And I really hope they spend less time hating Modi and more time loving Bharat, right? Coming up with serious issues. This election was also for me the difference, the election, you know, the ideas were almost like one was fighting an election of commitment and the other of entitlement. You know, there has been this whole divide and rule formula for the longest time from British times, and it's continued in politics. And there's a sense of entitlement that, oh, I'm Muslim, so I should get these votes, and I'm Sikh, so I should get those votes, or I'm from this caste, so I should be able to garner these votes. I think we need to move away from that entitlement, and divisive kind of politics. And I really feel, talking about the article that Time magazine put out on the cover, Divider in Chief, I think through this election, Modiji has proved that he's not the divider in chief, but the uniter in chief. Whether it's uniting the people for a healthier and stronger India, or it was during the, on a lighter note, or it was uniting the Mahagadbandhan or the Mahamilavat against him.
Talking about uniting, this is probably the first election where we've seen Bollywood so openly polarized, and also Bollywood used so cleverly. We've never seen that before in the past, whether it was the interview with Akshay Kumar or whether it was your film, the making of a film, a biopic on the PM, scheduled for release just before a general election.
So it's an interesting thing that you say that. And I was having this conversation with my father, who's a veteran, and you know, who's been in Bollywood for more than 40, 45 years. And he mentioned to me that there was an unwritten rule in Bollywood that, you know, you don't speak or get involved with anything political, because in the past, from the times of the greats like Devanand and Raj Kapoor Saab and these people, every time someone made a political commentary through their films or even, you know, as individuals, they were harassed, they were attacked through the system, whether it was, you know, income tax raids or other kinds of raids and other kinds of inquiries. And that kind of clout or that kind of abuse of power was what made Bollywood so timid, and people decided to stay out of it. But I think both two things that I see have happened. One is Bollywood's come out there, and you know, there are people who say, okay, we are against this or we are for this. And it's great because influencers should be vocal, in my opinion. The second thing that's happened is that I've seen is I was doing a film called Yuva about 10 years ago, and it was on student politics. And I remember talking to so many students at the time, and even when I was shooting Omkara, because I was a student politician in Omkara too, kids, when I used to talk to them, they just said, you know, they had this really adverse reaction to political conversation or political debate. They just said, you know, we don't want to be involved in this netagiri, you know, don't give us a bhashan, you know, who wants to talk about it? And that's dramatically changed with the advent of Modi. I think Modiji has brought the political discourse to, and he's somehow engaged the youth into it. Whether you call them bucks or anti-bucks or chamchas, whatever you want to call them, even on social media, it's there. Everyone has a voice and they're expressing it. I wish that they express it more sensibly and less emotionally. I wish that that maturity eventually comes into our system. But this is a great beginning for a young society to be involved and politically inclined.
But how is that message put across? That brings us back to the question we're asking here. Your colleague Anurag Kashyap raised an important question. He asked the PM, he thanks the PM for his message of inclusiveness, but he says, what does it mean on the ground when people who call themselves Chowkidar, who follow the PM, are celebrating this win by threatening his minor child with rape? Let's just play that tweet also out.
No, I think, Sarah, there you're wrong. I'm sorry to say that, but institutional harassment is part of a system, a structure, whereas individuals acting what they believe is on behalf of someone is a whole different story. That's why I said that a sense of maturity needs to come. There is a strong emotional connect. You know, this is the first time that I've seen in global politics supporters, you know, proudly calling themselves Bhakts. You know, and there's a sense of pride with that association. And they seem to be extremely zealous in their support. And that sometimes, I think, with a lack of maturity, makes them do these silly things. I'm pretty sure they don't mean what they're saying, or they don't understand what they're saying, or the gravity of what they're saying. And I hope the better sense prevails. And I'm against any kind of violence or any kind of rubbish threats like that. But, like, for example, I have now received death threats, okay? I have received threats from people who feel that me representing him on screen or presenting him the way I have on screen is damaging their ideology or their thought process. And I believe that there are anti-national elements in this country who, the intelligence reports say, have put me on a list of their targets. So I'm right now with police security. So that's a real threat. And that's something that people like us also deal with. So it happens on both sides of the spectrum. And it's unfortunate, but I hope that we grow more mature as a democracy.
Both ends of the spectrum doesn't make it right. But spoken like a politician almost, Vivek. But last question to you. I know you have to go. Your colleagues from the industry, Hema Malini, Sunny Deol, Kiran Kher, Babul Supriyo, like them, do you see yourself joining politics someday?
Sarah, why be an MP when you can be a PM on screen?
All right. Thanks, Mr. Oberoi. Thanks for that. Alpha, I want to go back to a question Rajat raised right in the beginning. The fact is that this is a huge mandate. 302 seats means it's not just the Hinduized middle class. It means it is the poor across castes. They voted for the PM. And if they're voting for, let's say, gas cylinder, low-income house, or, you know, whatever it is, a toilet, it still means in the end this is an election of hope. He has been, as Vivek says, the unifier, the great unifier to have gotten the country together.
Well, Sarah, I would like to believe what Prime Minister said. And I think when he's got this huge mandate, me as a citizen of this country, also somebody who belongs to the minority community, I've been reporting on them, about them for the last 20 years. I want to give an agenda to Prime Minister when he says Sabka Saath, Sabka Vikas, Sabka Vishwas. It should not just remain empty words. There are 4 points that I want to mention here. One is 2 points are about their physical security, and next 2 points are about their socio-economic welfare. And I really trust what Prime Minister says in Parliament. So one thing is about that he should immediately make a law against hate crimes against the Muslims or religious minorities in general. 2, communal violence bill. In addition to that, he should also include some elements where the politicians who are inciting violence are part of communal rights. They should also be made punishable under this act, which UPA could not do.
So far.
Yeah, so which UPA could not do. So another thing I want to say, that
UPA
two more
could not do because could it was targeted against the majority religion.
No, but I'm
now
saying
you start putting bracketing
make,
those
I'm
things.
I'm saying make
you
amendments.
Know, you need to understand because a lot
I'm
of young
people,
young audience
I
here does not
yet.
Know. The city, no, this is a very important communal violence bill when you bring in any
of the
people.
Don't have the
point. I cannot
but let
have
the patience come to you.
These youngsters does not know the debates of 2012, 2011. There have been sacrifices.
Yeah, they have a right to it.
Sorry, thank you.
We will come to your patience.
Please understand.
Thank you for your patience. Another 2 very, very important things. Again, something which is an unfinished agenda by UPA government, which they tried to do, but before we could see the results or the fruit of it on the ground, they had to go. They were out of power. Such are committee recommendations. If Prime Minister really, really, really wants us to believe that he really means what he said in his first speech, I do not want to doubt his sincerity. He should immediately start implementing such a committee recommendation. And finally, Equal Opportunities Commission, because he's talking about Sabka Saath and Sabka Vishwas. And I know that there are zero member of parliament in the parliament from the BJP. People from the minority community have been at the receiving end, and specifically, I would say, financially. I think they have had the brunt of his politics in the last 5 years. I've covered UP from 2017 until 2019, and I've seen people who are associated with meat business. I've seen people who are small hawkers, chai wala, pan wala, how they are terribly discriminated against.
Okay. Sarah, so he was trying to make a point. I asked him to hold on so that I
even
can come
I'm
to
trying
him.
To do that.
One, okay, please, but we can't be rewarding everybody who's just interrupting.
Please go ahead. I made my point. Mamtaji, please go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to understand as to what facts are we talking about when we speak about minorities and speak that they are not with Modi. I have also travelled during election length and breadth of the country, and I have spoken to these minorities, and they have told me, Sara, in no uncertain words, that we are voting for Narendra Modi ji, and he is the same Prime Minister who spoke and who tried and who made a bill for triple talak. How about that? Let me finish, madam. I did not speak when you were speaking. Thank you very much. He's the same Prime Minister. I hope the minority Muslim women remember that. None from their community, so-called these journalists, well-read women, came out and spoke in favor of those women who are deprived of this social security and against triple talaq. A. B. When I was visiting Uttar Pradesh, I have spoken to a lot of Muslim women and men as well. I said, are you not comfortable with Modi ji and Bharatiya Janata Party? They said, what wrong did he do to us? And you know what did they tell us? I said, do you want to vote for him? They said, of course we want to vote for him, because he is the Prime Minister. He is the person who's speaking about the modernization of madrasas. So what is wrong? What is wrong if a Pradhan Mantri of this desh is speaking about modernization of madrasas? Kya hoga agar aap madrasas ko modernize karenge? Ye hoga. 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 Ye We say that he has not done anything for minorities for past 5 years. Whatever development work has been done, was that only for majorities? The roads which has been built, you are trying to tell, and you are trying to misguide the nation that only the majority go on that?
Go to minority.
How about Ujjwala Yojana? How about rest of the Yojanas which has been given? The toilets which have been built or the houses or Ayushman Bharat Yojana. Ayushman Bharat Yojana, there are a lot of minorities,
Sarah,
Muslims
just
who have
no,
these cards.
I want to move.
So why mislead or misguide?
Mamta,
no, the people sitting in Delhi writing things cannot
Mamta,
misguide and mislead
so
the
right
nation.
Up front.
The fact is fact,
this huge
and based on that fact,
unless everybody
has
voted on these very issues. Mamta, I'm going to cut your mic down. We are being fair. I need to go across to Jonas. The point is, none of these points were raised by the BJP during this campaign. During this campaign, we never heard about LPG. We never heard about toilets. We never heard about low-income housing. We only heard about other issues.
Then you haven't even...
Just cut Mamta's mic down, and I'm going across to Jonas, please. We have Jonas blank. Mamta, please. Nobody is listening to you. And I'm not going to allow this to go on. Nobody is listening to you. Please cut her mic off. Cut her mic off. Nobody in the audience, none of our viewers are listening to you, Mamta. You're wasting everybody.
Muslim-dominated
if you don't have
like
a point
UP
to make,
Bihar,
please don't just monolize
this
conversation.
You have
Mamta,
to take it.
Mamta, thank you. No one has heard a thing that you said. Thank
that's,
you
that's
so much.
Really
I want to go across
really
to,
you
and you have no one
truth.
To blame but yourself, but I want
to
go across to Jonas
truth,
Blind
Sarah.
For a second.
That's not
because,
fair.
Because, Jonas, come in over here. We have Arfa, Jonah, come in over here. We have Arfa who just mentioned, she claims, according to her, in her opinion, the Prime Minister's statements on inclusivity of taking everyone along are targeted or directed at the international audience, at the international press. And it does, in a sense, take me back to 2008, President Obama saying on election night that he's not the president of the red states, or there are no red states or blue states, but it is the United States of America. But as we pointed out, we've seen hate speeches on the rise under this government over the last 5 years. You wrote an article in The Atlantic, I think, says where the headline was weaponizing religion in the biggest election on earth. What did you mean by that?
Well, as you know, but many of the viewers might not, writers don't actually write their headlines.
Correct.
In every publication, including The Atlantic, it is editors who write the headlines. So I will I'll leave that question about the headline for my editors. For my article, however, I think that it's important for an international audience to understand something that probably most members of your audience already do understand, which is that Hinduism and Hindutva are two very different things. One refers to faith, the other refers to politics. And your viewers will be familiar with this distinction, but many international observers are not.
And okay, and coming over to what Mamta just was saying before it became raucous and we couldn't hear anything, you said, you tweeted that you were in Varanasi, that is the PM's constituency, of course, on election day, and you spoke with voters on the ground and you asked them what they felt the most important issue was in the election, and none of them mentioned Hindutva. For them, the top answers, according to you, were Vikas and Swast. I think you mean health.
I should also note, this was an anecdotal selection of people. I don't claim to have done any extensive polling, but it was very interesting to me that when I asked people in Prime Minister Modi's own constituency what mattered to them, I posed it as an open-ended question in approximately 15 or so man-on-the-street interviews. Nobody brought up the issues that dominate the international coverage. People spoke to me about development, about victory, success, health in some cases, but issues that really were kind of nuts and bolts rather than Hindutva. However, they would be branded with a Hindutva backdrop. That is, most of the people that I spoke to were strong supporters of the prime minister, but whether they supported or opposed him, the things that mattered to them were the facts of their daily life.
So you agree with what the panelists have said and what I've said, with 302 seats just by the BJP alone, it has to have been these issues. It can't just have been Hindutva.
That's my impression. I think especially reading a lot of the coverage of election analysts who are more knowledgeable than I am, that this is certainly in line with what people have looked at in a very granular way. When people study the exit polls of thousands and thousands of voters, it does come up with the same answers, that the Indian people by and large do have confidence in the prime minister. And many have concerns, many have fears, but ultimately, if a majority of the voters, or at least a plurality of the voters, did not have confidence, then the prime minister would not have had such a huge victory.
Okay, and lastly, again, you know, the question about whether, how much of this is directed at what the international press is saying. For example, the Christian Science Monitor, and I want to say that's got nothing to do with Christians, it is a very respected magazine, has said, with hopes of turning India into a global superpower, Prime Minister Modi cannot afford for flare-ups of religious intolerance to damage the country's image.
I think that the Prime Minister is really speaking to the Indian people, as he should. I think that the international community sometimes tends to take itself a little bit too seriously. I think that India is not only the world's largest democracy, but an example for the rest of us. In America, we don't do everything perfectly. In America, we make a lot of mistakes, and I'll refrain from going into some of those. But I think that Indians all should be proud of this election. Because yes, two out of every three Indians came out and voted. In 100-degree heat, in 100-degree Fahrenheit, people came out and voted. I saw elderly citizens who sometimes need to be carried to the voting place, and they came out and voted. I saw people taking pictures, selfies with their ink-stained fingers because they were proud, because they came out and voted. And what I just will leave you with is that I think that the real heroes of this election are the Indian people, and I, for one, have great respect for all of them.
Well, That goes without saying. And if then can we get a response?
I'll just pick a very small one-line response.
And this is not for the first time
and
that's
you.
Happening.
Sir, and then you.
70-plus years. It's been happening. It's
correct.
Not for the first time.
This is the world's biggest democracy. Yes. These elections are pulled off every year.
I just want to point out something to what Mamata mentioned. Mamata, please understand. Sabka Saath, Sabka Vikas. Very nice slogan. But at the same time, not a single member of parliament from the Muslim community in the BJP.
So why do you always talk about Muslim community? Please, has to be about other minorities also.
Please
and minority cannot be equated with Muslim all the time. You tend to... No, this
Rajesh,
is a
I'll
very
come to you and
Vinod
then you give your opinion and pass it on to someone else.
Understand.
One second. Just let him make
his point.
Let him make his point and I will come to you.
You're a researcher as I gather from your comments. So you should have allowed me to finish my sentence before jumping to a conclusion.
No, I'm just trying to, because this is...
Before jumping to a conclusion.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
please
you know,
go ahead, sir.
I've not had the last word. I mean, I've not stated my last word.
Okay.
I don't intend to have the last word. You see, I have known Muslims who have come to me, he says, sab theek hai, sab ka saath, sab ka viswas, lekin mere ko mere vikas mein bhagidari denge ki nahi. Will you give me a stake in my own development? That's the question, my dear friend. And it is not about Muslims alone. It is about every single citizen of this country. And unfortunate bit is that this election indeed was fought on religious and military nationalism. It is a fact. This fact we cannot deny. I am not for a moment accepting or rejecting it.
Correct.
I am only reporting as an observer that there was a strong element of religious and military nationalism in this. And there was no Indian nationalism in this election, which is the inclusive aspect of any nationalism. So my little request to the BJP and its leadership and its cadres is that there is never late. And, you know, Vivek Oberoi made a telling point. PM had made history by winning this election.
Correct.
Now he has to earn a name in history.
It's a legacy.
In the books that all of us will read, without any dispute. And that is the beginning. This is the beginning point. I wish him luck. I also wish him luck with the myriad organizations which are there, which are part of the Sangha Parivar,
okay.
And which are sometimes out of control. I have seen Dattopant Tengadi getting up and questioning Atalji repeatedly, because he was senior to him. And he was heard and he was published. So the question is that we must build an India which has space for everyone. Emotional,
okay.
Political.
Rajat, I would wanting to go across to you, but the Prime Minister is just meeting with his mother. He's getting her blessings after this stupendous election. So I'm going to cut across to those visuals and use this time for me to just go in for a break and let you watch those visuals. The PM, of course, in Gujarat and then going to Varanasi tomorrow morning. But right now, meeting with his mother. We're going to go in for a short break. Come back to you, Rajat. On your screens are the images of Prime Minister Modi meeting his mother, seeking her blessings. As he has been re-elected on a stupendous mandate for the first time, the BJP with 300 seats on its own, a full majority, even bigger majority than the outcome of the last elections. We are discussing that after a most bitter, polarized election campaign, is it time to move on? The Prime Minister says it is. He's talked about inclusivity, but will the BJP follow? Is it too little, too late? Can the genie be put back into the bottle? Because what we have seen in this election is the othering of the Muslim. We have now joining us Barkat Alam. Barkat Alam is a young man. He's 25 and he was attacked today. आपके साथ क्या हुआ था बरकत बताइए प्लीज
मैं शनिवार रात को ईसा की नमाज पढ़ के आ रहा था
फ्राइडे को हाँ
फ्राइडे को शनिवार को रात
ओके
संडे ना कल फ्राइडे शनिवार को रात को मैं सवा दस बजे ईसा की नमाज पढ़ के आ रहा था उसके बाद वो छह लड़का आया उसमें चार पांच तो उधर में बैठा हुआ मतलब वहीं पे घूम रहा था एक लड़का बोला ए टोपी वाला इधर ए मुल्ला उसके बाद बोला ए टोपी वाला तुम्हें को बोला सुनो मैं बोला क्या हुआ है बोला इधर में तुमको पता नहीं है टोपी पहन के जाना अलाउड नहीं है गुरुगांव में मैं बोला मैं नमाज पढ़ के जा रहा हूँ अपने रूम। उसके बाद वो बहुत सा गाली हमको देने लगा। मैं सोच रहा हूँ यहाँ से निकलूँ, वो मेरे को निकलने नहीं दे रहा, बहुत सा गाली दे रहा। और बाकी लोग वहाँ पे था, उसको मैं बोल रहा हूँ देखो भैया कैसे कर रहा है, मैं एकदम नमाज पढ़ के जा रहा हूँ परेशान कर, तो वो लोग कुछ नहीं कर रहा, वो लोग सिर्फ मजा ले रहा, हंस रहा, मजाक कर रहा अपना, मैं मेरा बात नहीं सुन रहा वहाँ पे। और सफाई करने वाला उन लोग को भी बोला, वो लोग भी कुछ नहीं सुना, ये मेरे को गाली दे रहा, बोला ये किसको बोल रहा, ये सब मेरे साथ में है, ये सब क्या करेगा। मैं बोला पुलिस कंप्लेंट करता हूँ, बोले वो गाली दे के बोला जा जिसको जो करना है करो, तुम अभी तुमको अभी टोपी उतारो। मैं टोपी क्यों उतारा भाई, मैं टोपी मेरा उतार के फेंक दिया, मैं टोपी उतार के फेंक दिया, उसके बाद धक्का मार के उधर मेरा ले गया।
तो आप इन लोगों को जानते नहीं थे, आपने कभी
नहीं
पहले
मैं,
मिले नहीं
मेरे को गुड़गांव में
कंप्लीट स्ट्रेंजर्स केम अप टू यू।
20 दिन हुआ आया हुआ, 20 दिन हुआ आया हुआ।
आप बिहार से हो?
बिहार से इधर मैं आया तो मैं कुछ कमाऊंगा, काम सीखूंगा, कुछ कमाऊंगा, उसके बाद कुछ।
तो आपको डर लग रहा है?
अब मैं इधर में नहीं रह सकता हूँ, अभी मैं इधर गाँव गुड़गांव छोड़ के जाने वाला हूँ। उसके बाद मेरे को पुलिस भी बोला कि तुम केस कर दिया है तो अब तुमको कहीं बिहार तुम्हें ही रहना पड़ेगा, अब तुमको बार बार पुलिस थाना बुलाएगा, यहाँ कंप्लेन करेगा। उसके बाद मैं देखो मैं एक गरीब आदमी हूँ, यहाँ कमाने आया हूँ, वो बार बार थाने पे जाऊँ, सारा दिन बैठा था थाने पे, ले शनिवार को केस तो कर दिया, हॉस्पिटल उठाया, उसके बाद थाना में 3 बजे तक बैठाया हमको, 3 बजे हमारा हमको छोड़ा। उसके बाद तुम बोला तुम भागेगा नहीं यहाँ से, मैं बोला मैं मुजरिम हूँ, मैं भागूंगा यहाँ से, बोला तुम यहाँ से भागेगा ना तो अपना पैन कार्ड आधार कार्ड दो, मेरा एक भैया था साथ में, बोला तुम भी लाओ, और गाली वाली देना पूरा गुस्सा से बोला आधार कार्ड पैन कार्ड निकालो, ओरिजिनल नहीं है डुप्लीकेट है, मैं बोला ओरिजिनल है।
ओके सो आई थिंक व्हाट ही इज पॉइंटिंग आउट इज जस्ट दैट एवरीबॉडी स्टूड बाय, दे वॉच्ड, दे लाफ्ड, व्हिच परहैप्स इज द चेंज दैट वी हैव सीन ओवर द पास्ट फ्यू इयर्स। बट बरकत जी आप ये बताइए, अभी प्राइम मिनिस्टर मोदी ने बोला है कि सबका साथ सबका विकास सबका विश्वास, कि हमें सब साथ साथ चलना पड़ेगा, और पीएम और जो न्यूली इलेक्टेड एमपीज है सबके लिए काम करेंगे, कोई दूसरा नहीं है, कोई अदर नहीं है, हम सब एक साथ मिलकर, मतलब नई सरकार एक साथ मिलकर सबके लिए डेवलपमेंट की बात करेगी, आप क्या कहोगे?
नहीं वो सब कुछ नहीं हो रहा है,
नहीं होएगा, पीएम कह रहा है कि गोइंग फॉरवर्ड आगे जाकर ऐसे ही होगा,
वो 2014 से बोल रहा है, कहाँ कुछ हो रहा है, वो बहुत सारा नफरत और पैदा हो रहा है और फैल रहा है नफरत, वो बोल रहा जबरदस्ती तुम जय श्री राम बोलो यहाँ रहना है, तो उसके बाद मारने पीटने लगा मेरे को, उसके बाद मेरे को भारत माता के जय बोलो, उसके बाद तुम यहाँ टोई पहन के नहीं जा सकते हो।
एनीवे सो इन दिस, ये तो आम आदमी थे ना, इट वाजंट लाइक मतलब गौ रक्षक या कोई एनीबॉडी इन यूनिफॉर्म या यू नो दो सेनास दैट यू हैव यूपी, वो तो नहीं थे, आम आदमी थे।
वो ज्यादा बकेगा ज्यादा बोलेगा तभी तुमको शुगर का गोश्त खिला दूंगा, जानवर को सुना पूरा गाली।
ओके ओके लेट्स लीव इट एट दैट, बट दैट्स द नोट, दिस हैज बीन द एक्सपीरियंस ऑफ दिस वन यंग मैन एंड हिज एक्सपीरियंस रियली हिज डे लाइक ही सेड टार्ड बाय एवरीथिंग दैट्स हैपेंड। ऑल वी कैन से इज आई थिंक अरफा एंड ऑल ऑफ द अदर पैनलिस्ट हैव पुट इट फॉरवर्ड, वी वांट to believe the PM and we hope that this will be the case. The PM is talking inclusivity and hopefully the rest of the party will follow, and unlike in the past, if senior leaders are making communal comments or dog whistling, it will not be condoned on the top. That's it on We the People, where we believe it's important to speak up but it's also important to listen. Thank you so much, see you next week, bye bye, good night.